toast is basic. It's been around forever, as established by this goofball song from the 1990s.
When the first caveman drove in from the dregs, didn't know what would go with the bacon and the eggs. Must have been a genius, got it in his head. Plug the toaster in the wall, buy a bag of bread, make toast.
But despite the almost absurd simplicity of toast, it is no longer just a crispy afterthought on the edge of a breakfast plate. It's taken on a new status as a trendy main course, and that's thanks to one popular topping, the avocado. Avocado toast is on all the brunch menus, and it's come to represent the epitome of basic foods that people will pay top dollar to get in hip little cafes, even if it's just avocado smeared on bread, albeit really good bread. In this Portlandia sketch about tech-savvy millennials lacking any real survival skills, Carrie is placing an order for what she wants in a disaster kit that she'd use if a catastrophe wiped out access to grocery stores and stuff.
I'll do a fettuccine.
Fettuccine.
Some avocado toast.
That comes with mixed greens, fruit, or house potatoes?
I'll do the mixed greens.
But if avocado toast is a joke, I think the joke is on us because it wouldn't be on all the menus if we didn't kind of love it. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And before we talk coffee shops with the food critics, we're going to search for the most amazing avocado toast to pair with your cappuccino. No hipster shaming allowed. My guest for this conversation is Kara Harbstreet. She's a dietitian who hates diets. She wrote a post about the best avocado toast in Kansas City on her blog. Kara, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. I want to say this guide you have written for all the avocado toast options here in town seems very well researched.
Thank you. Yes, it was an idea that came to me after reading one of the articles citing how millennials seem to be struggling to invest in some of the adult-like investments. And it really got me thinking that, you know, millennials do spend their money on lots of things, avocado toast being one of them. But I'm not sure that we were really as guilty as it painted us out to be.
Yeah, you'd have to be eating a lot of toast to be like equaling what you could put into a mortgage.
Right. Well, and to your point about paying top dollar, it certainly is making an appearance on menus everywhere. And I think we're noticing that, you know, not only are millennials paying attention to this, but chefs and other people in the culinary space, you know, it's on menus for a reason. Just like you said, it's delicious and people do really love it.
What is your take on avocado toast as a nutrition expert?
So as a dietitian, of course, nutrition is always the lens that I look through. But in addition to that, I think pleasure and enjoyment from food is so, so critical. And so whenever I think of the components of avocado toast that make it so appealing, it does come down to the nutrition. So we're getting a great source of those healthy unsaturated fats. Avocados provide some fiber for our diet. And when you pair it with something like a high quality piece of bread or a really filling piece of toast, you know, you've got all of the elements needed for a really satisfying eating experience. And then you think of the mouthfeel, you know, just the textures and the crunch that you can get when you pair these two items together. And it collectively creates this experience that can be really appetizing, but doesn't require a whole lot of effort to prepare.
So I want to start getting your recommendations, but you have made the case of avocado toast from both a nutrition standpoint and a tastiness standpoint. Before we get on to your recommendations, is there anything else you want to say, sort of making the case for the culinary legitimacy of avocado toast?
So I think it's a great delivery vehicle. And I mean this in the sense that, of course, you've got this meal that you can essentially eat one-handed. But I think it's also a blank slate for whatever flavors that you enjoy the most. And so I think that creativity element has a lot of appeal, not only for millennials, but anyone who's getting more creative in the kitchen or wants to explore some seasonal flavors or unfamiliar ingredients. It's very user-friendly and very approachable.
So like you've got your base, which is the toast and the avocado, and then whatever else you want to kind of add to it is your personal flair.
Exactly. I think of the different flavor combinations that I really enjoy, and a lot of times that's something a little bit sweet paired with something kind of savory or salty. And if you think about the options, there's a huge range of things that you can add on top of your creations. So you get into things like fresh or dried fruit. We've got saltiness from nuts or seeds. And then we've got these other flavorizers like spices and herbs that we can mix in as well. And it's one of those things that you can really run away with and never really get bored because there's just so many options of what you can use.
All right, so let's hear your recommendations in Kansas City. You are big on the avocado toast at McLean's.
Yes, that was one of my favorites because I just remember the first time I had it, I was struck by the simplicity of it, but all of the ingredients seemed to be such high quality that when they all melded together, I just really enjoyed that. And I think it comes down to what we were saying earlier about a high quality piece of bread. The thickness and the texture was just the perfect ratio to me of crunch and chewiness. And then when you pair that with some of the fresh tomatoes and the pickled onions and the cheese on top, I thought that was just a really well done combination.
What about West Side Local? They have one with lox?
Yes. So that's playing up again on that saltiness combination. You know, lox is an ingredient that we'll typically see paired with bagels. And if you replace that with toast, it's not too far of a leap. And so we're using something somewhat familiar and just assembling it in a different way to kind of keep it novel and interesting.
Room 39 gets a mention on your list as well. You write that this one is lemony.
Yes. So citrus, I think, is a really great flavor for enhancing other flavors. So if you spend any time in the kitchen, you know that adding a little bit of salt to a recipe can bring out those other flavors. And I feel that citrus and avocado toast is something somewhat similar. So even just a light drizzle of lemon or lime or getting really creative with other forms of citrus can just make that experience all the more fun, especially if it happens to be a fruit that you have rolling around on your countertop or something that you're trying to use up before it spoils.
You know, I mean, it's not totally surprising when I think about that guacamole would usually have some lemon or lime or...
Exactly. Yeah. So again, we're taking something familiar. You know, this guacamole concept is something that most people are accustomed to and just rearranging it and something new. And I think for the breakfast component, it's the convenience aspect, but this can also be a great snack to enjoy later in the day. We're seeing it on some happy hour menus and other forms of entertaining or appetizers. So there's a lot of versatility of what this concept of avocado toast can become.
Okay, so last but not least on your list, for your readers who are outside the KC Metro, you're giving a nod to First Watch.
Yes, I have always been a fan of First Watch because I find that to be really consistent. So as I'm traveling or if I just need a quick meal, I know it's one of those restaurant chains that I can hop into and have a great meal for a fairly affordable price. You know, it's one of those things where in addition to the factors we've already mentioned, like nutrition and enjoyment, I also think of the financial aspects of eating. And if you are a little bit budget conscious, sometimes you are a little hesitant to invest, especially in a meal that you're not sure you're going to enjoy. And so for me, First Watch really represents that consistency of knowing that, you know, if there's an overwhelming number of options or nothing's really standing out to me, I know that their menu is something where I'll find a meal that I really do enjoy.
So tell me about their avocado toast.
So they had one, this was a seasonal concept that they had done, and it was in the fall. So similar to McLean's, they were pairing it with some of the seasonal produce, which I think is really getting people back in that mindset of eating in a more seasonal way. And they paired it with a little bit of broken bacon pieces on top. So again, you've got that combination of a little bit of sweetness coming from the fresh produce, you know, that saltiness, and of course, who doesn't love bacon? But then also getting into the accompaniments for that. So I really enjoy when First Watch serves a small side salad with their breakfast meals, because I find it's just a really easy way to get that serving of vegetables that I might not otherwise be getting.
And then a lot of people are doing the egg atop the avocado toast.
Yes. So a runny egg yolk to me is just like one of the ultimate things. I just love it so much. It adds that creaminess. And I think as we've learned more about nutrition and the benefits of having fat in our diet, people are really embracing this idea that we no longer have to avoid the egg yolk. And so people are getting creative with things like poached eggs or over easy eggs. And it adds that additional element of protein, which can make this a more filling meal as well.
Which makes me feel like the avocado toast concept, when it is a breakfast or brunch dish, is basically just a rearranging of breakfast so that the toast isn't on the side. It's like it's holding the whole breakfast. It's holding the bacon. It's holding the eggs.
I make the comparison of kind of the one pot meals. So if you think of something like a casserole or a one skillet meal, you've got all of your elements combined together. And this is really just another iteration of that concept.
So what are your tips for making avocado toast at home?
So I enjoy a really nice piece of bread. I've always thrived on this high-carb diet, and so I've hunted down a few different options. And in my kitchen, I usually have some kind of sourdough because you can enjoy it toasted or untoasted, and it just provides a nice wide base. So as you're spreading your avocado and all of the toppings, you just have a really good delivery vehicle. And then from there, I always tell people to not fall into the trap of the comparison game. So avocado toast is very Instagrammable, right? Like we've all seen the beautiful pictures on social media, and that's not always attainable in our home kitchens. So I prioritize flavor and enjoyment. And so if it ends up looking like a mashed up mess, I kind of let that go and really focus on adding either the toppings that I'm really craving or something that will keep me full and satisfied until my next meal.
It does seem like one of the benefits of this dish is that you get some bread, you mash up some avocado, and then maybe you're adding something, maybe you're not, but then you're basically done. So trying to achieve like aesthetic gorgeousness while you're running out the door maybe defeats that purpose.
Right. It's one of those things where we all live such crazy busy lives that, you know, to have a convenient option such as this that you can literally prepare in a matter of minutes or sometimes less, you know, it's just a great option for running out the door that you can eat one-handed. And for most people, I find that this is the reality. Not many people are taking time to cook a meal from scratch, especially at the beginning of the day. But this is still a great way to enjoy fresh ingredients and have a little bit more control in the toppings and the eating experience that you're getting out of that.
Kara Harbstreet, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kara is a registered dietitian and her blog is Street Smart Nutrition. So we've made the case for what you could say is a super bougie food choice, but that we're just getting started, basically. We're about to embark on our official search for the best coffee shops in and around Kansas City. Call with your fave and what you get there in just a minute. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and it's time to talk about coffee shops. Some of us are addicted to coffee, but I think that I personally am addicted to coffee shops, that home away from home where someone else makes the coffee for you. It's really indulgent and pretty great when you can swing it. We have a couple of our regular food critics in the studio, Mary Block and Jenny Vergara. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have a guest coffee connoisseur joining us today. Leanna Bales keeps a coffee blog called The Many States of Coffee. Hi, Leanna.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Will you explain your project and your blog for our listeners?
Sure. So it's really just born out of my passion for coffee. And I really enjoy best of lists, especially like best of in the United States or just best in the world. And I found that
best in the world.
Just best. And I found they really focused on coffee shops and coffee culture in like the coastal areas. And then you'd maybe have one or two shops in Chicago or Denver. But there was this big swath of the U.S. that's just kind of ignored. And it didn't really reflect my what I was seeing in Kansas City, which is just this really beautiful coffee culture where I think there's a lot of like movement between coffee shops and a lot of community. And I really just wanted to focus on coffee shops in sort of the Midwest. And
so you wanted to just get the Midwest on the coffee map? Like,
yeah, just mostly it's just, you know, for me, I just really enjoy talking about coffee and seeing new coffee shops. And
so do you travel around and sample coffees from place to place?
I do. Every time I travel, I try to make it, at least make it somewhat about coffee. Like, it's just, when every time I would do a conference or something, I would go and find great coffee shops, like Spyglass in Minneapolis, and I went to the original Starbucks in Seattle.
Before we dive into the specific coffee shop recommendations on everyone's list, how do you think Kansas City's coffee scene compares with what you find in other places around the country and particularly other Midwestern states?
It's right up there. I think it's one of the best. And I think, like, the supportive culture between coffee houses in Kansas City is just unparalleled.
All right. Well, you can tell us about the coffee shop you love most at 816-235-2888. Let us know if you love it for the coffee or something else entirely. 816-235-2888. And so, Leanna, go ahead and start us off with Nomad's Coffee and Cocktails. It's not new, but it's newish, and it isn't always on these lists and part of these kinds of conversations.
I did want to talk about that one because I think it really is like a sort of unique place where it's very relaxed, and they have...
This is over on 39th
Yes,
Street.
It's on 39th, and it's sort of near like Prospero's Books. And it's just a really relaxed, lovely place. Like, and I think it's a nice place, like, sort of in the evening, especially if you have, you know, maybe one or two people in your group who don't drink. And so they can get, you know, like a coffee drink or a hot chocolate, and it's, you know, it's just as fun. It's not like they have to get... you know, iced water, and that's all they can have.
It's an unspecified kind of hangout.
Yeah, and there's always, you know, there's people on first dates, there's girlfriends getting together, there's people sitting on laptop working in the sort of classic cafe way. And so it's sort of everything.
Mary, what's a favorite on your list? You're pretty big on Ibis Messenger.
I am. I think it is such a cool spot to have taken over that building and have the three different floors, the bakery on the first floor with that fabulous bread.
It's over across from what used to be the Kansas City Star building on Grand.
Exactly. And it was an old rubber factory. And they have the Ibis Bakery churning out beautiful breads on the first floor. They've got the coffee roaster on the second floor, which smells great. And then on the third floor, they've got a rooftop. Probably not good for a day like today, but in general, it's kind of a fun place to be. And they even have a fireplace out there as well. But the coffee is wonderful. I can't not get a pastry of some sort, usually one of their chocolate chip cookies.
Me too.
Or bread, but anything you get would be great. And you were talking about toasts earlier. Their avocado toast is great as well.
So, Jenny, you have provided a very thorough range of options, and they are organized by neighborhood so that people all over the metro can find something near them. And I do want to acknowledge there is a neighborhood aspect to the coffee shop. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think coffee really comes out of convenience. So whatever's closest to you tends to be kind of a favorite that you go back to because it is convenient and close. So I think there is something to be said for this is the coffee shop in my neighborhood that I go to. The reason I chose to organize my list like this is because as a food writer, I get asked an awful lot. I just always go through Starbucks. I don't know where the local coffee shop is near me. I don't think we have any good coffee. And so this was my own exercise, actually, probably more to prove it to myself than anything else, than to say, no, actually, I mean, all over the metro, we have unique, independently owned coffee shops that are either roasting their own beans or using coffee that's roasted here locally. And I think it's important to kind of highlight those places. We have enough coffee shops. We have enough mass that we should be drinking locally for sure.
Well, so let's go through a couple on your list and tie them to the neighborhoods where they can be found. We're going to start close to here at the station. Blip Coffee, they've got a location on Troost.
They do. And that's their newest location. It's a little bit smaller in size, not by much, probably square footage-wise, but it has these wonderful, colorful, fabulous murals on the wall. It instantly draws you into the space. And this is like an old Wonder Bread building that's been rehabbed right now. There's going to be many things going into this space. Blip was kind of an early adopter. But it's just, you can get all of their regular coffee that they serve there. They roast their own beans, so they're serving their own roast, which is really important to kind of know what the coffee is that you're actually drinking in there. They have a few pastries, not really much. Coffee's more the central thing.
Can I jump in and say something about the pastries?
Sure.
So we made a discovery, and we were hoping to explore this in some detail. Hopefully, we will get in-depth coverage one day. But they found the old Twinkie tins from the Wonder Bread Bakery, mm-hmm. and they have been using them with their own ingredients, with that sort of more like artisan approach, mm-hmm. to make something they're calling the Blinky.
Oh, cute.
Have you tried it?
I have not tried the Blinky.
Sort of almondy.
But I would love to try the
Blinky. It's very cereal because it even has that like tube of frosting in it, but it's not what it's the same texture and shape, but it is not the flavors you're accustomed to.
That's well, really clever.
That would take a lot of preservatives to give it the same flavors you're accustomed to. I've actually seen those Twinkie pans. You can kind of, if you look for them, you can kind of find them. We have a pastry chef at Johnson County Community College that has several of them in his office, and I finally said, is that a Twinkie pan? It was indeed. But yeah, so Blip also has a location in the West Bottoms, which is their original location for anybody who's down there. So that's two neighborhoods we're going to kind of check off the list. But so that's become the new local coffee shop for you guys, apparently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In KCK, you've got Spitlog Coffee.
Right. Spitlog is this little teeny tiny cute beige building. And it's run by two very earnest young folk in there who are making coffee. It's got little outdoor benches, a few seats inside. It's not very big. They do pastries that they bring in. Hannah's Donuts was one of the things that they were serving with their coffee. But if you sit outside on one of the benches, you can have the most beautiful view of the sunrise coming up over downtown. It's really, really incredible. So if you're over in KCK or happen to live over there, go check out Spitlog. They're doing good stuff there.
Spitlog, excuse me. So in Midtown, you are recommending Monarch, and Mary, you like that place too. I'd love to hear both of you talking about that. Mary, what do you love about Monarch?
I think it's gorgeous, and it's probably, aside from Messenger, it's the most Instagrammable coffee shop in town, and you will see that all if you follow people on Instagram. It's got beautiful tile floors, a lovely horse-shaped counter, and in the middle is a gorgeous coffee maker. If you want to have a meeting in the middle of the morning, it can be a little loud because there are a lot of hard surfaces, but the coffee is wonderful. And I also like the fact that they bring it to your table, and it's great coffee. They bring in some pastries from Lawrence as well, from
1900.
Yes.
Yes. And that's a treat as well.
Jenny, what are your thoughts about Monarch?
So, you know what I like about Monarch is that it's dressed up, meaning that it's very, it has a very nice atmosphere to it, a very designer conscience kind of aspect to it. But everybody in there is really low key. Like the whole place has this really chill vibe. You could actually spend the afternoon there. It's very, very comforting. I like it there. I love their baristas. They're very smart, and they're doing their own roasts obviously now, which is really fun, but they've got a lot of interesting drinks that are maybe not, they're coffee based, but they drink more like a cocktail, so a little bit more kind of elixirs and kind of interesting coffee drinks that border on cocktails, which are kind of
matcha
fun.
Yeah,
kind of fun. For the last time I was in there, I had something with like strawberry. It was pink. It was really, really pretty. So I love that spot. It's a great place to land, just if you're having a meeting or if you're getting together with someone.
It's an eclectic group of people.
It definitely is.
Okay, so that's Monarch Coffee in Midtown. Let's talk to our callers. We've got Ricardo with us. He called 816-235-2888 to tell us about his favorite coffee shops. He wanted to talk about Blip. We have talked about Blip, but Ricardo, you also want to tell us about a coffee truck.
That's right. This is one of my favorites. I was just like driving around one day and I was like, oh my gosh. So I like went around, and it's called The Wild Way. They're pretty cool. I love them. And they have like an espresso machine, and they have drip coffee.
Oh, our call just disappeared. He likes the Wild Way coffee truck, however. And so let's talk about if anyone's been to that, or if not, the coffee truck concept. Because I feel like in a place like New York, you have like the bodega, the place where on foot you stop for coffee.
That little cute truck is usually parked at 31st Street, kind of right there by Ollie's and kind of all that.
Yes.
That's Martini Corner kind of stuff. But yeah, you know, coffee truck makes total sense to me, as long as they're kind of serving something else in the morning. I mean, most...
And I'm pretty sure they do special events, too.
They do, yes. Weddings and things like that.
And I've even known that they... them to pull into a warehouse inside just to, you know, serve a crowd.
Oh, that's what you can do when you're mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Any other coffee trucks? Or no, that's the one. That's the coffee truck.
Well, there was Coffee KC truck. Mm-hmm. Or there are... Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of them for a while. I don't know who's still
there's a couple of them
around.
There's a couple of them, but that's the one that stands out to me most.
So you guys, all three of you are recommending a couple of places, and I want to talk about those while we're getting ready to go back to our callers at 816-235-2888. Let's talk about Crow's. They have several locations now, and all three of you love Crow's.
Yeah, I just love Crow's. There's the one that's next to UMKC, and then they have one in Waldo, which is at around 75th and Warnell. And then they have a new one that I just went to on Redbridge, and all of them are great. The one I go to most is in Waldo, but the one near UMKC was where I had my first date with my boyfriend, and we've been together 2 years.
So it has sentimental value.
Yes. So we went to the Crow's on Redbridge because it was our anniversary, and so we decided we're going to go back and get a picture, and then we went to Overland Park Botanical Garden.
What do you love about Crow's?
They just are so warm and nice, and they're really, especially in the community in like Waldo, they're really, really just invested, and they do a lot of fun events. And actually the one on Redbridge is having a Halloween party thing on the 25th, I think.
So just the role that they play in their communities is part of what you love. What about you, Mary?
Well, I love the backstory. Zach, the owner, was in the insurance business. He decided he didn't want to do that anymore. He opened the place in...
Here.
Near UMKC.
Love those.
And I just love the way the community embraced him, and it's been a hit ever since. You can't go into the UMKC shop expecting to find a table because it's always packed.
Jenny?
Yeah, you know, I like their Redbridge location just because there's really nothing out there in terms of like really great coffee. So I'm glad to see we've got one of our locals out there. I guess Martin City Coffee is out there, so they might have a little competition. But I like Crow's an awful lot for all the reasons that everybody has said. And again, the backstory is great. I just kind of refuse to go into the one near UMKC. It's just, it's too much.
It's too close to my house, so I can't resist.
I know. Well, I'm not over there that much either, so.
Let's get back to our callers. We are going to return to Ricardo, who is talking about the coffee truck, just to let him finish his thought before. Ricardo, you were telling us about a coffee truck.
Oh, yeah. I really love that coffee shop or that coffee truck. But if I could talk about two others, is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Two other ones that people might kind of look over. On 39th Street, there's one called Downbeat. And it's a coffee shop that's in an attic, and you have to go up to the third floor. And I think on the
bottom. Wait, in the attic of what?
It's like some kind of salon. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if it's like a hair salon or like a dog grooming place or something like that. But like you have to go on the outside.
Someone's being groomed. Someone.
Yeah.
Some species.
You have to walk up these like rickety stairs and go up to this attic, and there's a full coffee shop up there, and it's so cool. It's just something that you might overlook.
Okay.
And then another one that I really love is Sister Anne's, and that's on like 31st Street or something like that. And it's a record shop, but they have like a full espresso bar and everything. So that's really super cool.
Well, thank you, Ricardo. And Jenny, that is on your list too, Sister Anne's.
Yeah, and I'm relatively new to Sister Anne's, I have to say, but I went back and read some of the backstory. I didn't know Sister Anne's is based on a woman who was really had a record shop here in town and was really instrumental in helping.
Recycled Sounds.
Thank you, Recycled Sounds, and was really instrumental in helping a lot of people. But I'm kind of up on it now because I was reading about their coffee shop and I managed to get in there. And I mean, if you're looking to just kind of browse records and have a really, really good solid cup of coffee, this is a groovy place. This is a really, really neat place, kind of North Hyde Park. So that's where I stuck it on my list.
We have a caller who has a question. We have Jim, who is an Uber driver, and he is in search of something. Jim, what are you looking for?
Well, sometimes my wife and I like to go out in the afternoon and just, you know, go around the town and find something neat and stop and whatever. But is there such a thing as a cool coffee shop that has decaf coffee?
Okay.
Because so, if it's after noon, she won't drink coffee because it's then she can't sleep.
Yeah, I feel so that.
Is that
that
like
Jim.
An oxymoron, good coffee? That
no, sometimes you crave coffee even though you know better. And I am curious, anyone going to extol the virtues of a place that works wonders with decaf?
I don't think anybody is hanging their marketing hat on their decaf coffee, I would tell you, but
there is some decaf shaming out there.
There is. Yeah. No doubt about it, and I'm certainly not joining in because I too cannot drink coffee probably after about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but for the very same reasons. I think all the coffee shops have some sort of decaf option, and if not, they have certainly a tea or something else that you could enjoy that would be non-caffeinated that
I usually like to do chai in the afternoon after a certain time. I really enjoy
that. Just a little less caffeine.
Yeah. And so there's a little caffeine in there, but it's not quite as much of a punch as you'll get with a couple of shots of espresso.
So all three critics here are also recommending Second Best. And this is in Waldo. Jenny, kick us off here.
So Second Best is kind of hidden on the backside of kind of a shopping center. If everyone knows where Waldo Thai is, it's kind of on the opposite side of that shopping center from Waldo Thai, kind of inside. And it's been there quite a long time. And they, too, are kind of known for they do their own coffee, coffee roasts. But they have become, I think, popular just by nature of the fact that they are, again, kind of the only thing in that in the Waldo area, kind of that far south, doing really great coffee. But they also do kind of these creative kind of coffee drinks that are elevated with, you know, the similar ingredients to a cocktail, but they're not boozy. They're just made with coffee. And so it makes it a really interesting place to like try something new. So I always appreciate kind of that spirit about Second Best. But Leanna, you know Second Best quite well because it was right near where you worked.
Yeah, and it is probably my favorite coffee shop. I just think it's a really relaxing place. There's usually some seating. They have wonderful breakfast burritos that are served until they sell out. And my favorite is the rosemary garlic. It's so good. You will feel the garlic for the next part of the day. So if you're going to be anywhere near someone.
I didn't know they did burritos. That sounds delicious.
Definitely. I've never heard of a rosemary garlic burrito.
Oh, it's so good. And it's got some, I think, like some sausage in there, and it's got a little bit of a hit, but it's just so good.
This is for like a work at home situation, though. You are implying
vampires, keeping vampires at bay.
If you are going to be hugging people or being talking right there in their face, I would maybe. I mean, depending on how you feel about the person.
Let's talk to Victoria. Victoria is calling us from a car in Spring Hill, Kansas. Victoria, what do you want to share?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I want to give a mention to the Bean in Main Street, Spring Hill. It's just one block, but it has great little stores. But the Bean is a wonderful coffee shop. It's a mix of traditional and modern decor. It used to be an old grocery store and has been reborn as a coffee shop. They have great coffee, great pastries, a lovely limited but delicious lunch and dinner menu, so you can get a little bit of anything. Very comfortable couches and chairs.
And this is in Spring Hill.
Spring Hill, about 10 miles south of Olathe.
Okay.
On Highway 169.
Okay, thanks, Victoria. So Victoria raises an interesting point. The coffee shop has this history of being this, like, urban feature, like an amenity in like a walkable downtown or something like that. You know what I mean? And coffee shops are in fact everywhere now. And I am curious if anyone else has found a coffee shop in a small town or in a place far from the KC Metro, sort of on the periphery of the Metro, that is really, really wonderful and deserves a shout out. Mary.
We were talking about this before the show. There's a place in Bentonville, Arkansas, if you want to go to
that
Crystal Bridges.
That is quite a trip.
It is quite a trip, but it's worth it, even just for the coffee. There's a place called Onyx Coffee.
It's like a six-hour drive, right? Five or
no,
six?
I don't think
it's, I'd say 3 to 4.
Yeah, about 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Still,
so
worth it for the coffee.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a drive.
It's closer than St. Louis. And it is very futuristic. I've never seen coffee machines like this. I'm sure they're out there all over the place, but I was really impressed. And not only is the coffee great, and they roast their own, but just the speed in which you get your coffee. I always get a latte, so I'm always waiting in line. And these machines are really cool, really fast. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Any other thoughts about the sort of diamond out there that people who spend a lot of time in the metro might not know about, or that people who even live in these communities may not know about?
I'll do one more. PTs in Topeka. My son has a friend who travels the country for work, and he always goes to tries to find the best coffee shops. He was in Kansas City, and there's a PT's on Southwest Boulevard, and he made the drive to Topeka because that was the original, and he said he had to go there. But if you don't want to go to Topeka, go to the one on Southwest Boulevard.
Okay, we have to take a short break. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite coffee shop in Kansas City or the surrounding area. The Critics will be right back, and also a word from a Kansas Cityan who imports coffee from her family's farm in Guatemala. She isn't so sure about all the bells and whistles around coffee these days. Why not just pour a cup? We'll get her take and yours in just a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are guiding us to the best coffee shops in Kansas City. You can still join that conversation at 816-235-2888. But before we get back to that, we're going to take a little detour to address the politics and geography of coffee with Erica Noguera of Doña Fina Coffee. And Erica, start us off by telling the story of Doña Fina, what it is, what you do.
Sure, thank you. The short story is that my dad's the farmer, and we have a family coffee farm in Guatemala that's been in the family for generations. And over the last 5 years or so, we've started to try and build a market for ourselves here in Kansas City and sort of erase all the middlemen and find a way to continue the legacy of my great-grandparents, use the land that we've been fortunate to have in our family, and find a way to make it sustainable for ourselves as well as the people that we work with on the farm. The coffee industry has grown a lot in terms of, I guess, in a very capitalist sense. There's a coffee shop on every corner. Starbucks is a giant global company, but the actual producers, the farmers, don't see any of that. My dad just yesterday, he just came back from Guatemala yesterday, and he was lamenting about the cost of a 150-pound bag of green beans right now is going for about $95 on the market. So you can imagine how hard that is.
So, I mean, you wrote a Facebook post in response to an article about Kansas City's quickly growing coffee scene, and you write that the idea that the most important part of the coffee industry is what you call a performance culture built up around it is problematic. So first of all, what do you mean by performance culture?
Well, on the one hand, I think it's great that people are interested in a really good cup of coffee. Starbucks really did a lot to change that in the United States. It used to be just very utilitarian, and people drank, Missouri River mud, and that was fine. So on the one hand, I think it's great that people care about taste and craft. But people will pay $6 and stand in line for a pour over, which candidly is not my favorite way to drink coffee, because I think of the experience of it. And there's no thought given to where those beans come from. And coffee is still a crop that really does not pay its producers. If you're not paying at least $15 for a pound of coffee, then you can be sure that you're contributing to really, if not slave labor, sharecropping, very poor conditions for the people that are working those beans.
So when you talk about what you would like to see people place value on in coffee, like what would that be?
I think it's absolutely being aware of the source of the beans. There's a lot that's been said out there about fair trade, but almost all of the coffee shops in Kansas City, and I'm a huge fan. I visit all the coffee shops, and I love coffee shop culture. I mean, you can talk about the French Revolution was built in coffee shops, and it's a very, you touched on that a little bit earlier about the community nature of a coffee shop and how important that is. And the food critics were talking about a lot of what you said you were barely talking about flavor of coffee and mostly talking about the baristas and how you feel when you go into a shop. So on the one hand, that's very important. But when you're most important, you know, when you're paying $6 for a cup of coffee so that you can feel special, or and I think, you know, the article that I shared was about the barista competitions, and I just sort of smirk at those. I, on the one hand, great, you know, Kansas City's been recognized. We have the world's best barista here. But really, how many different ways can you steam milk and pour a shot of espresso? I think the conversation really needs to be about, you know, who's producing these beans. And all the coffee shops, or most coffee shops in Kansas City, buy from the same two importers. And they may be paying a higher premium per pound of bean, but they're not paying, that money's not going back to the producers. And that's really the conversation that we need to be having.
Okay, so Erica, taking that into account, you've mentioned that you also do enjoy the coffee shop experience. Mm-hmm. And so maybe share a thought or two with our listeners about how we reconcile these things, an awareness of what you're describing, and also like the enjoyment of the coffee shop.
Yeah, I think having those conversations with the coffee shops that you're going to, where do you source your beans? You know, how do you participate in the fair trade conversation? There are a couple of local coffee shops. Broadway actually is the only one that I can think of that sends their people to, you know, they go and visit the farms, and they have
Broadway Cafe.
They have direct relationships with farmers, and they do their best and are willing to talk about, we've had some candid conversations about, you know, how much are you paying? But most coffee shops are just buying from importers and paying, you know, and it's a business. It's a small business. You have to make a margin. So I think as consumers, having those conversations with the coffee shops that you attend, and making that part of your process as you're buying beans for your own home, is thinking about, are these sustainably sourced? Are these fair trade? And I would say support Doña Fina, because we're the only farm-to-table coffee, you know, in Kansas City right now. So,
well, Erica Noguera, thank you so much for sharing that perspective. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I know that that is a hard thing to reconcile if that's something that weighs heavily on you, but let's go ahead and continue our search for the best coffee shops in Kansas City, while acknowledging that there are politics behind it, and that there is commerce behind it, and that that can get messy behind the scenes in ways that we don't always like to acknowledge. We are focusing in many ways on the neighborhood aspect of the coffee shop, the community that gathers in a coffee shop. Jenny, what's another one of your favorites that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, let's see. Let's talk about Colony down in North Kansas City, kind of on the main drag there. Colony does a bunch of things. They have they brew beer. They have coffee. They also have a lovely little restaurant in the back where you can order a delicious fried chicken sandwich. But to talk about their coffee, you know, it is a busy, buzzy place, and it's got plenty of seating, which I really like. You're not crammed into a tiny space. It's a nice big space. You can kind of spread out. But I really love it. They use Post Coffee Company, and Post is in Lee Summit. They have their own shop, actually, in Lee Summit, their own retail space, which I really like. That's my Lee Summit recommendation there. I'm going to give you two for the price of one, which is really good. I mean, they're obviously roasting their own beans here, which I think is kind of important. But I love the feel of Colony, and it's kind of one of those any time of the day or night kind of places. Depending on when you want your coffee, they're there for you. So, yeah, downtown North Kansas City.
And
yeah,
we are getting... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I like Colony a lot, too.
We are also getting a tweet from Stephanie about Maps Coffee and Chocolate in Lenexa. And Jenny, I know that that is on your list as well.
It's on my list in a big way. It is the coffee that I buy and drink at home. I lived in Lenexa for years and years. I know Vincent, the owner, very well. And I really like the roast that he does. He does a variety of roasts. I'm kind of probably a light to medium girl. And there's a roast he does called Milk that I basically order online and it shows up on my doorstep about every, a bag about every other week. And for that, I really appreciate him doing that. He'll do it for you as well. So yeah, Maps is a big favorite of mine. They don't have a coffee shop. That's the one thing you have to know. You can go into their Lenexa location, and he is using his roaster to do cacao beans to make chocolate bars now. So if you're interested at all in kind of craft chocolate, or obviously good quality roasted coffee, he's got kind of two big roasters and he's using them to his advantage. And you can go in and buy beans. You can go in and buy his chocolate bars. You can go in and just chat with him. He's a really interesting character. I like Vince a lot and I wish him well.
Let's hear from Slater in Overland Park. Hey, Slater.
Hi. I was going to mention Mud Pie Vegan Coffee Shop and Bakery. They're on 39th Street in Westport, talking about culture and neighborhood. That's a very large cultural neighborhood in Kansas City. And they're also on 95th and Metcalf.
Okay. And what is it that you like about them?
Well, they do offer, so they're all vegan everything, including their pastries. So a lot of people have negative connotations toward being vegan and the vegan society of that as well. And their pastries, I believe, are as good or better than any other regular type, I guess, of bakery item that I've ever had.
Okay, well, that's a shout out to Mud Pie from Slater. Mary, if there is something on your list that we haven't gotten to yet that you're just going to be like, I can't believe I left the room without talking about this place, what would it be?
Thank you for asking that question, Gina. I would go with the filling station on McGee. I love the vibe in the restaurant, the coffee shop. They're really great people. They also have a patio outside, and they have really good food as well. The filling station is owned by Messenger, so they serve Messenger coffee, and Josh Ians of Happy Gillis consulted with them on their menu. I love their Gillen Bowl for breakfast in the morning with my coffee.
And is there one more place you want to just be really sure you get in there?
I would say Key Coffee. The original is in River Market, and it's a fun spot. It's on that stretch of Delaware that's teeming with restaurants and bars and coffee shops now. There's another one in the museum as well, but Key Coffee is the original. The River Market is the original.
And we are hearing from both Leanna and Jenny that Hammerhand Coffee is really good. Tell me about Hammerhand Coffee. I've never heard of it.
So Hammerhand is in downtown Liberty, and it's just like it's in a historic building, and it's right off the main square, and it's just beautiful. Like, it's really bright, and there's a lot of just really modern decor. And I went up there because I was watching the eclipse in 2017. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go up early with my grandma. We're going to have to sit somewhere for a while. And of course, I want to sit at a coffee shop. So I was like, well, this is perfect. And we went in. It was great. You know, I had several drinks there because we were, as I said, there for several hours.
Jenny?
So when Mary was showing us a picture of Onyx in Bentonville in the green room, I said, oh my gosh, that's the same coffee system they have at Hammerhand up in Liberty. So this is really like state-of-the-art kind of coffee making, and it really is a fast way to get a lot of coffee served. And if you think about this location, they're right off the courthouse in Liberty on the square. So they are a busy, busy location. But they picked a beautiful historic building. They've really done it justice on the inside. And I like what those guys are doing. I think every part of town should have a great coffee shop, and certainly Hammerhand is where to go in Liberty.
Okay, we don't have very much time left, so this is going to have to be fast, but Patty is calling us from Gardner, and I am intrigued by her recommendation. Patty, what is it that you want to tell us about? A coffee shop in a?
Good, in an old Masonic temple.
Okay.
Right at Treated Elm.
Wanted to make sure we got that in there.
Yes, it's called Groundhouse Coffee. And not to diss Gardner, but there's not much in downtown Gardner. But we got this coffee shop in a couple of years ago. I live 3 miles away, so I consider it walking distance. They have an enormous assortment of coffees, hot, cold, cold brewed. I'm not a coffee drinker, but they got to my heart because they make tea bags for you. You choose the tea, and they actually put them in beautiful little, like, silky pouches and make it. They have baked goods. They make homemade savory or sweet crepes.
Patty, that sounds so good. We're going to have to go, but I like knowing that there is a coffee shop in an old Masonic temple in Gardner. And Jenny, I'll ask you the question I asked Mary. What's the place that you got to get in here before you leave the studio, or you're going to be like,
I'm going to talk about Front Range Coffee. That's the new coffee shop that's in the Fairway Shops. And this is a kind of a relatively new, this is from the folks that did Made in KC, if you're familiar with those shops. And it's got this lovely kind of Colorado mountain-esque feel. Cocktails at night, coffee during the day. It's in a perfect location in a busy shopping center. Swing in, get your coffee, and start your day.
Well, our time is up, but Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mary Block of Around the Block, thank you.
Thank you.
And Leanna Bales of Many States of Coffee, thanks for joining us today and happy travels.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can get our complete list of the best coffee shops in and around Kansas City at kcur.org/Central Standard over the weekend. And it's a good weekend for it, too, with this fall weather swooping in. kcur.org/Central Standard. And follow us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. We'd love to know what's on your mind, what you think we should be talking about on this show. Central Standard is produced by Melody Rowell with Noah Taborda, Ann Knigendorf, and Aviva Okeson-Haberman. We've got Paul Nakiatura running the board for us today. Ron German was at the wheel yesterday. Linda Scher was here as usual earlier in the week, and they all make us sound great. So thanks. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.